Do you know anybody, that is constantly murmuring, constantly complaining? I mean, they're always muttering something underneath their breath. And you look at them, and when you look at them, hey, you know, they ain't happy. And if they ain't happy, they don't want anybody else to be happy, because they're going to let you know why they aren't happy. You've heard that saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, mama or papa, are you happy? We'll talk about it today. I want you to know, beloved, as we open the book of Philippians, that God is not happy when there is murmuring and when there is grumbling, when there is disputing. It grieves God. And you and I need to understand that, because it is so easy to get in a mode of just complaining. I mean, things aren't going your way, or you don't like this person, or they're irritating you, and that irritation builds and builds and builds until finally you can't even stand the way they chew their food. And you look at them and you begin to murmur, you begin to dispute. Or you're sitting in church, and you're listening to the pastor, and you're really not happy. And so you begin murmuring, and you begin complaining. And you know what? It just wrecks the harmony. It wrecks the unity. And what Philippians is all about is living in harmony with one another, living in the unity and the encouragement and the love, everything that we find in Jesus Christ. Philippians is all about Christ being exalted in our body, whether by life or by death. Philippians is all about you and I having a love that abounds more and more. It's about being sincere, without cracks, without, you know, what you see is what you get, and what you see and what you get is like Christ. That's what Philippians is all about. And so as we look at Philippians chapter 2, as we look at that centerpiece, that doctrinal masterpiece on the incarnation of Jesus Christ, and the fact that he is God, and the fact that he, as God, humbled himself, had this attitude, had this mindset of becoming a servant so that he might become obedient, even obedient to the point of death on a cross. As we look at that, we've got to see and watch Jesus and know that he didn't murmur and he didn't complain. And we're not to do murmuring and complaining either. We're to be like Jesus. So in Philippians chapter 2, we come in verse 12, and we looked at this in our last lesson. So then, my beloved, we made great tracks. We covered two verses. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now in my absence, he says, I want you to work out, carry out to completion your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and or disputing. Now, this word do is in the present tense. And what he's saying is, hey, this is your habit of life. Not only are you to allow me to work out your salvation through you by my giving you the desire to be like me and the ability to be like me, but if you're going to be like me, then you are not to do murmuring, you are not to do disputing. It is not in your job description. That's the job description of the world. That's the job description of the children of the devil. But it's not the job description of the children of God. And so he makes it very, very clear. Now watch what he says. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God. Now watch, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. among whom you shine, you appear as lights in the world. Now listen, if you're going around murmuring, if you're going around disputing, I mean, constantly quarreling, constantly arguing, constantly debating, I mean, everything that's said you don't like. And if you're going around like that, honey, you're living like the devil. Sir, you are playing on the wrong team, and you are about to touch a touchdown for the wrong team. You're running towards the wrong goal. Stop. Turn around and run this way, because you're headed in the wrong direction. You and I are to live in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation a blameless life. Now, blameless simply means it is to be above reproach. It does not mean that you and I are going to be perfect. So go, whew, I am so glad. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you and I are going to be perfect, although God says, be ye perfect even as I am perfect. The word perfect there is teleos, and it means be mature, grow up. And when a person is constantly murmuring and disputing, they haven't grown up. When a person is constantly murmuring and grumbling and disputing and arguing and contesting, then it shows that life is all about them and they ain't happy. And because they ain't happy, ain't nobody gonna be happy. And that's not the way it's to be with us, because our happiness, so to speak, our contentment does not rest on circumstances. It rests on the fact that the one that is in us is to be honored, and the one that is in us is to be glorified no matter what the circumstances. Circumstances are not to shape us. We are to live in such a way that we override the circumstances. So watch what he says. You say, this is awfully hard. Do you realize how hard you are? I want to tell you something. It's not me. It's the Lord. It's the Word of God. And it is not hard. Remember what we saw? It is God. It is Christ who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now, when I think of that, I go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is where I want you to go. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he is writing to a church that knows how to grumble, that knows how to complain, because this church, the church at Corinth, is a church that hasn't grown up. It's a church that is still on their bottle instead of taking meat. I mean, they still want their baba. It is a church that there is disputing between one another. There are divisions. There are schisms in this church. And it's because they haven't grown up. And as he writes to them, he's going to remind them of the Old Testament people, because from them, he's going to get an illustration. So watch what happens in this passage. He says in chapter 10, verse 1, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren. Duh. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, he's talking about the children of Israel when they were led out of the land of Egypt. They were led by a cloud during the day, a pillar of fire during the night so that they could see it. They all were under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They all crossed the Red Sea. And all were baptized in Moses. Now, baptized does not mean water here. It means they were united. In other words, where Moses was going, they were going. What Moses was experiencing, they were experiencing. And they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food. They got up every morning, and there was manna in the morning. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock, which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Remember when they got thirsty and they complained to Moses, and Moses struck the rock as God instructed him, and the water came forth? Well, he's saying, hey, that rock was Christ. What is he saying to you and me? And this is very important in understanding murmuring and disputing and complaining. It's like the same thing that we saw in the last lesson. It's God who was at work in you, both to will and to do. You need water? Okay. You smite the rock. The rock is Christ, and from Christ comes what you need. Have you got that? From Christ comes what we need. So we don't need to murmur. We don't need to dispute. We can handle any, listen carefully, you can handle any situation of life if you have Christ. If Christ is in you, you can make it. Now, I know that you think you're going to drown. I know you think nothing is ever going to be straightened out. I know that life is hard. I know that it is difficult. You say, oh, you're a Bible teacher sitting in this lovely surroundings. Things aren't difficult for you. Oh, you don't know. You don't know. Yes, things are difficult. Because life is not without difficulties. And the difficulties have a purpose. The difficulties are there to make me not depend on myself, but to look to God. To look to God. Jesus said, and he told him before he left, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. In other words, rejoice. For I have overcome the world. In other words, you can make it. And you can make it, and you can make it without murmuring or grumbling or disputing. It says, nevertheless, they had all of this. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. What does it mean? It means God killed them. God just let them die off because they would not believe him. Now listen to what it says. This next verse is so key. He says, now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. In other words, when we read the Old Testament, hey, that's an example for us. You say, what does that have to do with murmuring and complaining? Well, he goes on to say, he says in verse 9, nor let us try the Lord as some did and were destroyed by the serpents, nor grumble as some did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Do you know what God did? God got them for grumbling, for murmuring, for complaining with God's dealings with them. God just dealt with them. And they were destroyed. And listen to me very carefully. If you continue to be a murmurer, you continue to be a grumbler, you continue to be a complainer, you know, you're going to destroy all sorts of things. You're going to destroy your relationships with other people. You're going to destroy their relationships. You can destroy a church. And you know what? You'll answer to God for it if you're a child of God. Now, that's a strong way to go to a break, isn't it? It is. But come back and we'll look at it.
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
Grumble, 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 murmur, 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 complain, complain, complain. I'm never happy. That's not to be you, and that's not to be me. Now, sometimes you and I can get ourselves in what I call a snit. I don't know if that's a phrase you know, but a snit means that you are mad, that you are angry, and that you're just not going to have any more of it, and you're going to let everybody know that you're in a snit, that you're angry. That's what the children of Israel did. They were unhappy with God. Now, when he says in 1 Corinthians 10, where I left you as an illustration of Philippians chapter 4, when he says, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer, he's referring to Numbers 16 and Numbers 17. And that's what you ought to read. You ought to go back to Numbers 16 and 17 and read those passages and watch for the word grumble. As a matter of fact, when you study the book of Numbers, grumble and murmur are key repeated words. And you see that every time they start grumbling, every time they start murmuring, then God has to deal with them. And what he does here is, I mean, he just opens the earth and swallows them. He's had it. And he's had it. And you have to understand, God's a holy God. God's a righteous God. But God is also a sovereign God. And sovereign means that he rules over all. It means up here in heaven is God. And I use a triangle to illustrate God, if you can just put this in your imagination. And right under God are the angels. There are the good angels and there are the bad angels. And there's the devil right in the middle. Then you come down to planet Earth, and on planet Earth, what you have is man. And you have man living among men. You have those that belong to the devil, and you have those that belong to God, and you have a conflict automatically. But those that belong to God are to live in such a way that no matter what the circumstances, they stand there in the midst of that crooked and perverse generation, standing firm and holding forth, offering to the world the light, the glorious light of life that is found in Jesus Christ. To say to those people, hey, you don't have to walk in darkness. You don't have to live that way. But when I stand there and I murmur and complain, and I forget that this sovereign God, as Daniel 4 says, does according to his will in the army of heaven, among the bad angels and among the good angels and even over Satan, and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stop God's hand, and none can now watch, lift his puny little hand and say, what are you doing? And you're not to do that. And you know why? Because that's murmuring. That's complaining. God is in charge. He creates good and he creates adversity. Isaiah chapter 45 tells you that. And if he creates adversity, he has a purpose in it. And whether it is good or whether it is adversity, beloved, he wants you to understand that he is the Lord, that he has ultimately done, permitted, whatever, all these things, and he is going to take them and work them together for your good, for your Christ-likeness, so that you might be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, Hebrews 2 tells us that although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. So when Jesus went through suffering, he didn't open his mouth. He did not complain. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says, for you have been called for this purpose. I'm in verse 21, excuse me. For you have been called for this purpose. I love you. Do you know I love you? And do you know that it is a pure delight for me to teach you the Word of God? And if you haven't downloaded, by the way, if you haven't downloaded this study guide for Philippians, you need to do it. You just go to preceptsforlife.com, download it, and get on with it and study. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to help you learn the Word of God for yourself so that you can be everything that you God intends you to be, and you can live as more than a conqueror. So you were called. Listen to what he says. You were called for this purpose. I'm in 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. Not only do you have the Old Testament saints as an example of good and bad, but you have Jesus as an example always of good. And it says, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, now listen, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. He did not revile in return. Are you reviling in return? Are you turning around saying, you're not going to speak to me like that? And furthermore, let me tell you. And you tell them, that's not the mind of Christ. That's not the attitude of Christ. And it's not going to bring you joy. You're going to say it. And you may be happy for the minute, but I'm telling you, if you're a child of God, you're going to be miserable afterwards. And you're going to be miserable afterwards because you didn't act blameless and innocent in the middle of that crooked and perverse generation. Well, he goes on to say, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him, God, who judges righteously. In other words, Jesus had a fear of God. He had a respect of God. Now, I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 2. So he says that you and I are to be blameless, verse 15, and innocent, and that means pure. It means we're uncontaminated, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world, dispelling the darkness. In other words, holding fast the word of life. This is the word of life. These are the very words of life, so that in the day of Christ, in the day when you and I stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we've seen the day of Christ mentioned twice already in chapter 1. So that in the day of Christ, I, Paul says, will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. In other words, when I came to Philippi, it wasn't a useless trip. But it is useless if you don't catch it, if you don't live it, if you don't have the attitude of Christ, then it is useless. Because you see, when Christ comes, and I want you to get this, and I want you to understand this, when Christ comes into us, precious one, then you and I are able to live life on the highest plane. And the highest plane is under the control of Jesus Christ, innocent, blameless in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. He says, and he goes on to say, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and I share my joy with you all. He says, listen, it's costing me imprisonment to do this, to bring the gospel to you and to run and to toil on your behalf. But I'm telling you, that if you live the way you ought to live, poured out, broken, and poured out and spilled out for you, it's worth it. It's worth it because now you have come out of darkness into the light. You're no longer part of that world and that society that murmurs and groans and complains and disputes, but you're living above it all. And I'm telling you that it is worth it. And so he says, and you too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Share your joy even though I am suffering because I am not complaining, I am not murmuring, I am not disputing, I am not angry with God. I am just thanking God for this awesome, awesome privilege of being able to suffer for the sake of the gospel. And it's worth it all because you are living innocent, so to speak, and blameless in the midst of this generation.
Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
Well, beloved, let's summarize what we have seen so that this truth goes really, really deep. Next to Philippians chapter 3, verse 16, where he says, holding fast the word of life. Now, it could be that you're holding it fast, that you're not going to let it go, that you're going to live by it, or it could be holding forth. They don't know exactly how to translate this, but whether it's holding it fast or holding it forth, if you hold it fast, you're holding it forth and they can see it. In other words, he's saying, this is the word of life. And I want you to embrace it. And I want you to so live it in the midst of others that they will see that you belong to me in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And next to that verse, I want you to write Matthew 17:17, because that's what Jesus called the times in which he was living. So I want you to understand that Jesus lived in days like you and I are living in. And he lived in the midst of a perverse generation. He lived in the midst of religious hypocrisy. It was the religious hypocrites that wanted to kill him, that wanted to get rid of him. He lived in the midst of a society that had gone amoral. I mean, no morals. The Roman lifestyle, which was the governing power of that day, that Roman lifestyle was a very depraved lifestyle. And he lived in the midst of all this. And yet he never murmured. He never complained. And John chapter 5 tells us that Jesus said, I always and only do those things that please the Father. What the Father speaks, I speak. What the Father does, I do his works. And that's what comes out in John chapter 14. That's the way we're to do it. And you know what? We can, beloved. We can. Because Christ is in us. And because Christ is in us, you and I have the mind of Christ, we have the thinking of Christ, and we have the power of Christ. So let's just this week just stop and say, God, show me any time that I'm murmuring. Show me any time that I start complaining. Show me any time that I start disputing. And Father, show me any time that I look more like the world than I look like Christ. Show me when I get in the edge of the darkness instead of holding forth the word of life. Because God, I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. Because at the day of Christ, I don't want to be ashamed. When I see you, I want to hear, well done.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging onto our website at preceptsforlife.com or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us next time as we continue our look into the Word of God.